Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty. Dalton Erwig on assignment. Hope to have him in the last segment of the show this evening for Sports Night. Would love to hear from you tonight. 251-343-0106 is how you can call in and talk to us. It's not like there's not a lot of things going on in the sports world, whether it's lack of NFL coverage, whether it's lack of NCAA football coverage, but somebody who never, ever gives us lack of Jaguar coverage is our first guest tonight at the top of the hour. JT Crabtree, the voice of the South Alabama Jaguars, joins us this evening on Sports Night. JT, good evening, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, man. Looking forward to talking all things South Alabama football. It's an exciting time to be a Jag right now, and especially coming up this weekend. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
No question about it. When you start talking about South Alabama creating history, the first time in the history of the school as an FBS school, they get off to a 3-0 start. The 2-0 start and the finish against Bowling Green was very exciting. But when you tack on one more win to that and push it to 3-0 and get a big-time win, I say a big-time win because – it's better than a big-time loss over Alcorn a couple of weeks ago. Start talking about this 3-0 South Alabama team playing a 3-1 Louisiana Raging Cajun teams that was ranked number 23 in the country to begin the season and play Texas very tough.
Yeah, this is a big-time weekend for South Alabama football. Like you said, it's the first time that this program has ever been 3-0 at the FBS level, and while the last two games haven't maybe necessarily been the prettiest efforts, you got to win in the end, and that's what matters. And now you had a bye week to get ready for a Louisiana team that, you know, Corey, you've been around this program, and you've been to games where the Jags and the Cajuns play each other. This is to me, one of the key rivals for South Alabama athletics. And yes, Troy is the primary rival for football, but I think Louisiana is really the top rival in everything else, and it's going to be a huge test for the Jags. You know, that 3-0 looks good, but how good are you at 3-0 is going to be the real question, and this will be a true test this weekend. Yes, you're supposed to beat Southern Miss. You're supposed to beat Bowling Green. You're supposed to beat Alcorn State. But now you've got a team rolling into town that's preseason favorites out of the West. How do you stack up with, as Coach Womack's been saying all day today, how do you stack up with the team that has been the standard of consistency and winning in the West? That's the true test coming up this weekend.
I agree with you. And it's going to be a 7 o'clock p.m. kickoff at Hancock-Whitney Stadium. And it's going to be a whiteout. Everyone is encouraged to wear some type of white. And I know they're giving out, if I'm not mistaken, some 10,000 T-shirts to those customers or fans who come into Hancock-Whitney Stadium. So it'll be an electric atmosphere that it has been the last couple of home games that South Alabama has had at Hancock-Whitney. But when you start looking at South Alabama not being able to defeat Louisiana since 2015, you know, and these guys are picked to finish first in the West, this would be a huge stepping stone for this Jaguar program. And I know it's one step at a time for Coach Kane Womack, but it would be a huge step in the right direction, not only to be competitive, but to actually go ahead and win that monumental home game that you've been looking to have.
Absolutely. You know, you build a stadium on campus like Hancock-Whitney Stadium for games like this. You want that big-time atmosphere on your campus. You want it in your facility. And that's what we've got coming up this weekend. You mentioned it. It's a whiteout. We're giving out 10,000 white T-shirts, not just to students, but to 10,000 all fans that come. We're expecting a huge crowd. All tickets are $3 off for the Jags' 3-0 start this year. If you're a season ticket holder, it's actually a special deal where you can buy additional tickets for a discounted price. We're rolling out all the stops. And it should be a great crowd. It should be a great atmosphere. And you, like you you said, it's been a while since the Jags have defeated the Raging Cajuns in football. They've lost five in a row. Six of the last seven matchups between the two of them have been decided by 10 points or less. It's been back and forth. It's really, though, like I said before, this is the test. This is what to see what you've really got. And I'm not exaggerating this, but I think this is the biggest home game for South Alabama football since 2014 when the Jags played Texas State. And the winner of that game basically locked up a bowl berth. The Jags won it, went to the Camellia Bowl. That was their first time going to a bowl game in program history. I think this game coming up on Saturday, 7 o'clock against Louisiana, is the biggest game since then. So, really, you're talking your biggest home game for South Alabama football in 7 years. And I think that's legitimately the case. It's a huge game. It should be a big-time atmosphere on campus. It should be a whole lot of fun. And I cannot wait for Saturday to roll around.
Well, what happens is the Sun Belt is broken up into the East and West. The Coastal Carolina is ranked number 16 in the country right now. Of course, they are 4-0, have not played that conference game. And then Lafayette was favored to win the West. And here it is, South Alabama sitting there at 3-0. And you're talking about bowl possibilities already, just trying to find those wins on South Alabama's schedule. But the thing I look forward to the most is not only the crowd and the electricity that can be brought into it. It is a true measuring stick for this South Alabama program moving forward as you start looking at the Sun Belt Conference standings and the games that will be played in the weeks to come, because South Alabama, after this, you had your bye week early. And I know there's a couple of bye weeks, but then you travel and you play Texas State, and then after that, you start talking about Georgia Southern. So these are programs to where if you're able to go ahead and establish yourself, and Coach Womack is not one for moral victories. He wants to win the game, and that's the name of it, JT. But again, when you look at these players for South Alabama coming into the season, a lot of hype was around Jalen Tolbert and transfer quarterback Jake Bentley. And so far, Tolbert has delivered as well as Bentley, and the running game has gotten better every week. And to me, that's one of the keys for South Alabama to get going, is for them to have at least 150 yards rushing.
Absolutely. The running game getting going has been key for the Jags the last two games. You look at that game at Bowling Green where really nothing was going right for the Jags. And then that final drive, they literally put the game on the back of Terrion Avery, and he carried them to a victory. You know, you drew up a draw play on 3rd and 12 inside your opponent's red zone, and it goes to the house. It's pretty gutsy call, but it worked. And so the Jags used that the week after against Alcorn State, another good game, a better game with the ground game. Kareem Walker had 3 touchdowns. Brian Hill, who's another Mobile guy, another McGill Toolin product, he scored a touchdown as well. The running game is finding some consistency. And like you said, we knew that the passing game was going to be there with Bentley and Tolbert. But we didn't really know what we had with Kareem Walker transferring in from Mississippi State. And that was a guy that really hadn't played meaningful football in 3 years. He was a Michigan guy, played a little bit up there, went the JUCO route, played a little bit there, then went to Mississippi State. Didn't play a whole lot his first year. Then they hire Mike Leach, and they don't run the ball. So he was really just a body on a roster. So Kareem Walker came in as really an unproven guy. And then behind him was Terrion Avery. He played a little bit here and there. Brian Hill, as I mentioned, was transferring in from Tuskegee. He didn't play a whole lot there. So there were a lot of question marks, Corey, about what the running game could have. It's been getting better, which is obviously exciting. It's getting better. You go into the bye week feeling good. Going into this game against Louisiana and a team that they really struggled against the run last week when they went to Georgia Southern. They eventually got the win 28-20, but they gave up 450 total yards of offense. 278 of it was on the ground. And yes, I know it's an option team with Georgia Southern, but you've got to feel pretty good about the Jags' chances to not only get the running game going, but keep that passing game going. That's been so good this year.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I really want to talk to you is you've been broadcasting South Alabama football for quite a while now, but one of the interesting moments a couple of weeks ago was at Hancock-Whitney Stadium when after the opening kickoff, the lights would not come back on. And I know for you in radio, sitting there trying to cover for some 90 minutes. You know, we always, as broadcasters, have our nuggets tucked away. But having and trying to come away with 90 minutes worth of nuggets, tell me a little bit about how it was to do the radio during the delay.
It was not the most fun. And what's funny about it is, you know, we were expected to rain all week long, and it turned out at kickoff it did not rain. It eventually had a little sprinkle, but nothing like we expected. We had actually made contingency plans Friday morning of if there was lightning, if there was going to be the standard NCAA-issued 45-minute delay, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? We had that plan in place, and we actually, what we were planning to do was we would stay on air because of all of our affiliates. We have to stay on air. We would stay on air for the 45-minute delay. If it was extended, we have some features called Jag Nation Rewind, which are available on our website, usajaguars.com, where they're basically audio features of past games. So we had a rewind of the Jags' victory at Mississippi State from 2016. We had that in the can, ready to go, ready to play it, and we had said, okay, we'll stay on for the 45 minutes. We got through the 45 minutes, and we said, okay, we can still 15 more minutes, get us to the top of the hour so our stations can identify themselves. And when we come back from an ID, we'll play that rewind and kind of take a break, let that play through. Because it was about an hour and 10 minutes long, the rewind was. So we said, okay, we'll let that play and we'll step aside. Well, Tommy Hicks, our sideline reporter, was told, hey, they're about to replace a breaker and try and turn on the lights in about 10 minutes. So I said, okay, we can fill 10 more minutes. After that, if they don't turn on, then we'll play the rewind. And I'm not joking, Corey. We got to 8 minutes and 35 seconds into the 10-minute window, and sure enough, the lights flick on. So we said, okay, we'll keep it here, and we'll fill. And then there was the 20 minutes for the teams to get ready and whatnot. But we were pulling at straws. My mother-in-law was listening up in Auburn, and she said, I don't know what you guys were talking about at some point. We were just laughing at you. We found out Chris May doesn't know who John Cougar Mellencamp is, which I want to throw him out the window at that point.
Right, right.
I must have been off talk. He had no clue what I was talking about. But we made it work. It wasn't fun. We got to the halftime, and we were pretty fried. We were pretty burned out. But, you know, we made it work being on air for 7 straight hours and getting a win and going into a bye week. I guess makes it all worth it, right?
Absolutely, it makes it worth it. And, again, 7 o'clock p.m. kickoff. For the whiteout, Hancock-Whitney Stadium will be the place to be on Saturday evening as the South Alabama Jaguars will look to go into uncharted territories, trying to go to 4-0 for the first time in program history, and every win from here on out will be a step closer to achieving bowl game status, which is ultimately where you would like to be. And Kane Womack has done a wonderful job in his first year. And if people want to follow you and hear all about South Alabama athletics, how can they do so?
They can find the Jags, first off, on our athletic website, usajaguars.com. Me personally, probably the best way to find some stuff from me is on Twitter. My handle is at JTCrabtreeUSA. I'll post, you know, I'm a Corey, I'm a hype machine.
Absolutely.
I love the Jags. I'm a fan with a microphone strapped to my head. So you'll see some promotional stuff on there. We'll have some radio clips, some highlights. Our very popular in-the-booth videos as well of us going nuts in the booth on Jaguar touchdown. So hopefully we've got plenty to post come up on Sunday after hopefully a Jags victory against the Raging Cajuns.
Absolutely. JT Crabtree, there's none better in the business, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy Monday schedule to talk South Alabama football, and I know you're looking forward to the call this coming Saturday. And always a pleasure talking with you here on Sports Night.
Hey, Corey, appreciate you having me on, man. I cannot wait to see you and everybody else at Hancock-Whitney Stadium. Like you said, 7 p.m. on Saturday against the Raging Cajuns, a whiteout. So I know it's after Labor Day, and I know we're breaking the rules wearing white after Labor Day, but we'll allow it just this one time for a packed-out stadium. It should be a lot of fun.
No question about it. Thank you, JT, and you have a wonderful week.
All right, thanks. You too, man. Go Jags.
Go Jags. Don't want to go anywhere. We have plenty left to talk about here tonight on Sports Night. Of course, everybody wants to know about Cornelius Williams, who was fired as an assistant coach at Auburn this past weekend. And Auburn struggles against Georgia State as well as Alabama's big-time win. We'll talk a little NFL action. Also coming up on Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Huh. yo-yos. That's the way you do it.
Welcome back to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty. Dalton Orwig coming back from the Tennessee Titans football game this weekend. And last break, we had JT Crabtree, the voice of the South Alabama Jaguars, talking about that huge whiteout. Coming up now, I want to talk a little bit about the Auburn Tigers, folks. And you're more than welcome to call in 251-3-0106. 251-343-0106 is how you can call in. And the Auburn Tigers found a way to win a non-conference game against Georgia State. And at the end of the day, it is a win. But all I've been hearing from Auburn fans and non-fans and football talking heads is about Bo Nix, the past year that he's had at Auburn. And would he be Auburn's savior at quarterback? And would he develop? Well, with anything, competition makes you better. And at Auburn, TJ Finley is the guy who backed up Bo Nix, but was able to come in the fourth quarter and find a way to somehow convert a pass on fourth down and 9 to help Auburn give themselves a chance to go ahead in this game. And here it is. The Auburn Tigers were favored by 25 points against Georgia State. And it really shouldn't have even been close. But Auburn scores only 6 points in the first quarter. They only score 6 points in the second quarter. And coming out of halftime, you've kind of felt that Auburn was going to put the pedal to the metal and they were actually going to show up and show out. That didn't happen. For me, the Auburn Tigers, I'm going to say this again and again, they have to have over 150 rushing yards, period, whether it's by one running back or whether it's by a combination of running backs. But total rushing yards for Auburn were right at 166. And their big dog, Tank Bigsby, to me, who was one of the best backs in the country, only received 18 touches for 60 yards. And that's just not good enough when you start talking about him probably needing the football close to 25 to 30 times. But because of Auburn's struggles, they went ahead and fired their wide receiver coach, Cornelius Williams, who joined Coach Harsin's staff from Troy. And I'm beginning to wonder, is he a scapegoat? And I'm not debating whether or not the Auburn wide receivers have struggled, because I said on this show last week, tell me who Auburn's go-to wide receiver is. And I still, at this point in time, I'm not sure who Auburn's go-to wide receiver is. If you need that critical third down catch, who is your possession wide receiver if you're an Auburn Tiger? I'm not quite sure of that. But I will say this. TJ Finley definitely added life into this Auburn Tiger offense that Bo Nix was not able to do and has not been able to do. And when you start looking at his numbers, TJ Finley was 9 out of 16 for 97 yards for one touchdown. And that last touchdown was at a very critical moment for the Auburn Tigers. And then they turn around, they take the lead, and then they're able to go ahead and find that interception to go ahead and cover the 10-point spread that was there when at the beginning of the game they were probably favored to win by 25-plus. But at the end of the day, it's a win for the Auburn Tigers, and that's what they have to have. You start talking about Auburn's schedule coming up, and it doesn't get any easier. Auburn goes down to the Bayou. They're playing the LSU Tigers. LSU is favored by 3.5. Well, TJ Finley, he just so happens to be the transfer quarterback from LSU. So with that being said, following that, you look at what the Auburn Tigers have to do. Oh, after that, they're only going to take on the number 2-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. And then if you're able to get out of both of those, then you're talking about the Auburn Tigers, talking about the Razorbacks of Arkansas, who are now a top 10 team in the country. So over the next 3 weeks, we're really going to find out what direction this Auburn program is going to go into, and whether this firing of The wide receivers coach, Cornelius Williams, will make a difference because Coach Harsin was able to promote someone within his staff who followed him from Boise State. And who knows, that might have been the direction he needed to go all along. But at the end of the day, Auburn's defense has to find a way to get better. And we'll talk about the Auburn Tigers and the Alabama Crimson Tide and the rest of the matchups coming up right here on the other side of this break, right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. And we'll talk about Bama's dominance over Southern Miss. It should have been there. We'll continue to talk about Auburn's struggles. And at the end of the show, we'll also talk to Dalton Orwig about the NFL and the weird things that happened in the NFL this week. We have a great Monday night matchup football game coming up also. You don't want to go anywhere. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey Labonte. Stay tuned in. Welcome back to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. And prior to going to the break, we were talking about the struggles of the Auburn Tigers and the firing of wide receivers coach Cornelius Williams. And Coach Harsin talked about it today in his press conference, and he felt that it was necessary. And I know that it is necessary when you don't get the type of production that you want, but four games in to a coach that's making $300,000, Do you feel that was a situation to where you wanted it to play itself out until the end of the season? Obviously not, because you're looking at Kobe Hudson, the wide receiver for Auburn, and only has 13 receptions for 197 yards. And you also look at Shedrick Jackson, who has 13 receptions for 166 yards. I mentioned who is the go-to wide receiver for the Auburn Tigers. And to me, it starts with the running game. And even though you have a new coach, these next three games, will Auburn continue to struggle on offense? Who will be the quarterback? Will it be T.J. Finley? Will it be Bo Nix? I personally think that T.J. Finley should get the start for the Auburn Tigers over Bo Nix, because he provided that little instant spark of offense, and Auburn was sitting there with only 3 points on the board, and that's just not enough in SEC play. And you have to find a way to play against the big boys. And Sun Belt Conference, Georgia State, who are now 1-3, there's no need and no reason for you to have that type of struggle, because you put the foot to the gas against non-conference opponents, which you saw the Auburn Tigers do against Alabama State, which is an FCS school. And then you're talking about them being able to handle their business against Akron. But are they able to do it on a consistent basis offensively? And that's the biggest question that I have about the Auburn Tigers moving forward. And I mentioned their schedule not getting any easier with them taking on the LSU Tigers. And this week I look forward to watching that matchup against the LSU Tigers, because you want to see how Auburn is going to respond. And it's a late kickoff. You have all day long to really think about how you're going to respond, how you're going to react. And when you give LSU fans an entire day to have fun in Death Valley, now that you have 100,000 people able to be in the stands that have to show proof of vaccination in order to go into Tiger Stadium, I think that's just going to be a tremendous environment for college football. And when you start talking about the top 25, it doesn't get any better than the number one ranked team, the University of Alabama. And nothing changed this week in the AP top 25. Alabama is ranked number two. Alabama ranked number one. Georgia ranked number two. And ultimately, what you're setting yourself up for is a Georgia-Florida game that's going to decide who wins the SEC East. And I don't think there was any question about that going into the season, that those two teams were going to have to try to figure out what they wanted to do in regards to who wanted to be the top dog to try to dethrone Alabama as the SEC champions. But Oregon stays at number three. Penn State moves up to number four. Iowa stays at 5. Oklahoma drops 2 spots down to 6. Cincinnati is up 1 spot to 7. Arkansas is at 8. Notre Dame at 9. And Florida up 1 spot to 10. But when you start looking in the back half of the AP Top 25, Clemson at 2-2 loses to NC State in overtime. And I don't think many people saw that coming in the struggles that Dabo Swinney is starting to have at Clemson. Is it due to recruits? Is it due to coaching? Is it due to just Clemson making its 5 or 6 year run and not being able to sustain? Because that's the one thing that I love about the Alabama Crimson Tide, that they've just been able to sustain a decade plus of dominance in not only the SEC, but nationally. And that's hard to do. And credit Dabo for being able to keep that train on the track for about 6 or 7 years here. But now that you're starting to struggle, the Alabama Crimson Tide are not. 63-14 winners over Southern Mississippi. And this game got out of hand as soon as the football toe to leather was kicked, because here it is, Jameson Williams scores on the opening kickoff. And then historically, he does something that no other football player in the history of Alabama football has done. And you start talking about the history of Alabama football from an offensive standpoint, for him to have 2 kickoff returns for touchdowns and then an 80-yard receiving touchdown. And that's just remarkable. And that's the explosiveness that you're going to get from the Alabama Crimson Tide. And even with that 80-yard touchdown reception, or 81-yard touchdown reception, he did not even lead the team in receiving. Billingsley, Jaleel Billingsley, who was in Nick Saban's doghouse from the beginning of the season, comes off from his tight end position, has 5 receptions for 105 yards and 1 touchdown. Alabama is just loaded at every single skill position that you can possibly think of. And you start saying, well, all right, the running game. Where was Brian Robinson? Well, Brian Robinson didn't even play, and that led to a young man from Birmingham, Alabama, coming in. Roydell Williams comes in the game for Alabama and has 110 yards rushing with 1 touchdown. Jace McClellan, he continues to do great things for the Alabama Crimson Tide, has 12 rushes for 97 yards. And again, this is a Southern Miss team that's 1-3, and South Alabama was able to dispose of them as well. But Alabama is just so explosive in so many different ways and so many different aspects. And you start looking at Alabama's schedule coming up. The Alabama Crimson Tide are going to play at 2:30 against Lane Kiffin and his Ole Miss Rebels. And I look forward to seeing that game, because last year, Lane Kiffin absolutely destroyed Alabama from an offensive standpoint. It had over 660 total yards of offense, and you would have thought Alabama didn't know what the word defense or tackling meant 1 year ago. And even though that game was in Ole Miss in not so ideal conditions, this year with it being in Tuscaloosa, Alabama coming in at 4-0, Ole Miss coming in at 4-0, Ole Miss coming in at 3-0. What they're trying to do from a defensive standpoint is defensive coordinator Golding is trying to knock off Matt Corral's Heisman hopeful opportunity. Matt Corral right now is absolutely torching defenses, has 9 touchdowns, has thrown for almost 997 yards, and he's getting it done at the quarterback position. And that's what you are expecting from a Lane Kiffin coach team. You're expecting him to get it done, and his rushing yards are very impressive as well. 33 rushes for 158 yards. When you look at Corral's overall statistics from his few years, in 2020, he rushed for 506 yards, and that was through close to 12 games. And here it is through his first 3, he already has 158. So the versatility at quarterback is something that has given Alabama defense is trouble. Again, this young man, Matt Corral, the quarterback at Ole Miss, has 9 total touchdowns with no interceptions. Alabama's going to have to find a way to turn Ole Miss over at the end of the day. And don't think for 1 minute that Nick Saban and his staff have not popped in that tape from a year ago and say, guys, this is the way not to play football. we won't get embarrassed like this. And I think that the point spread, when you start looking at what Alabama is going to be favored by so far, Alabama is favored by 14.5. And I wonder why Alabama is favored by 14.5. And I think a lot of that has to do with the explosiveness that Ole Miss has. And I look forward to seeing if Brian Robinson can come back healthy, because he was sidelined by a rib injury this past week. But I've said this and I'll say it again. Alabama probably has 4 or 5 backs in their backfield that are NFL ready. And you just kind of wait your turn at Alabama. And when you start looking at the box score from the game against Southern Miss, you have to be very impressed with Bryce Young. And this young man did not get a lot of reps 1 year ago, but his game against Southern Miss was so very impressive, almost to perfection. 20 out of 22 he completed for 313 yards, 5 touchdowns, and the one interception that he had hit the Alabama wide receiver in the hands and popped off from his hands to his chest into the defender's arms. So he really probably would have had close to 6 touchdowns with no interceptions against Southern Miss. And that QBR rating is to be impressed. But start looking at the SEC games that were played. Of course, Georgia crushed Vanderbilt 62-0. LSU with a big-time win over Mississippi State in Starkville 28-25. Boston College, to me, in overtime, finds a way to squeak past Missouri. And the biggest surprise in the country are the Sam Pittman Arkansas Razorbacks as they defeated Jimbo Fisher. And I said it a week ago, that was a 16-7 matchup. And A&M found a way to lose that game. And now with Alabama looming a couple of weeks from now, is Jimbo Fisher on the hot seat? Because you're paying him close to $6.5 to $7 million a year. Is he on the hot seat? Florida takes care of Tennessee 38-14. Kentucky squeaks by South Carolina 16-10. And again, Alabama handles their business as they always do. So this week's matchup, Arkansas and Georgia, really looking forward to seeing that game at 11 a.m. on ESPN, because again, that will dictate to me how real of a deal are the Arkansas Razorbacks and how good is Georgia. We'll find that out this Saturday, 11 a.m. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll try to get in touch with my co-host Dalton Orwig right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty. Dalton Orwig on assignment tonight. And in this last segment, we were talking going into the break about the SEC and the matchups that are getting ready to occur next week. And there's going to be some great ones. And I'm looking forward to seeing Alabama and Ole Miss play one another, as well as Arkansas and Georgia. But in the NFL on yesterday, there were some great matchups and some very interesting things happened. When you see a 66-yard field goal being attempted and made by Jason Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens, yes, folks, a 66-yard field goal defeated the Detroit Lions in the NFL contest, and that led the Baltimore Ravens to a win over the Detroit Lions 19-17. That was impressive. 66 yards, the ball hit the upright and bounced over the crossbar and in, and that helped Lamar Jackson and his Ravens find a way to win. And they're playing with a lot of confidence, because you have to remember now, the Ravens being 2-1, they were able to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs a week ago. And also, in the weird world of special teams in the NFL, if you think a 66-yard field goal that was made was pretty good, well, the Cardinals decided to attempt a 68-yard field goal. It was no good against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but because that 68-yard field goal was attempted, that allowed Jamal Agnew from the Jacksonville Jaguars to return a missed field goal. And yes, Alabama fans, this really does make you reminisce to the kick six, but this one was 109 yards returned for a touchdown for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 109 yards off a 68-yard field goal attempt was no good. Returned 109 yards for a touchdown for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Urban Meyer still lost to the Arizona Cardinals 31-19. But anytime you can have history made with a 66-yard field goal being made and then turn around and record the longest return in NFL history from a missed field goal, 409 yards, that's pretty impressive. Two things from a special teams-wise that I know a lot of NFL teams wish they could kick a 66-yard field goal, but somebody who did not need one were the New Orleans Saints. And I really want to know, who are the New Orleans Saints? Is Jameis Winston for real? Because I'm always going to pull for Alabama guys who are in the NFL, especially when you go some 25 or 30 years without having a starting quarterback from Alabama in the game. Well, the Saints and Jameis Winston found a way to defeat the Patriots 28-13 yesterday. Jameis Winston, 13 out of 21 for 128 yards with two touchdowns. Not eye-popping numbers, but Mac Jones, the rookie quarterback from Alabama, 30 out of 51. Yes, Bill Belichick threw the football 51 times. Mac Jones had 270 yards. He only threw one touchdown, and he had three interceptions. Now, again, one of those interceptions hit the wide receiver, bounced up, and right into a Saints defender's hands. But the Patriots are now 1-2. Mac Jones, I wouldn't necessarily call it a struggle, because when you start looking at the NFL, Tua Tagovailoa is struggling. That's the quarterback due to injuries who is out maybe 3 or 4 weeks with a rib injury. And because of it, now you have another Alabama quarterback tonight in Monday Night Football, Jalen Hurts, trying to get the Philadelphia Eagles back on the winning track. And I'm not so sure how good either one of these teams are going to be, because you have Philadelphia, who 1 week ago took a loss, and Jalen Hurts had different decent numbers. They lost 17-11 to the San Francisco 49ers. And when you start looking at Jalen Hurts' numbers a week ago, he was 12 out of 23 for 190 yards, didn't throw any touchdowns. But in week one, Jalen Hurts really had a great game against a lot of people's favorite team, the Atlanta Falcons. Hurts was able to propel the Eagles to a big win over the Falcons, 32-6. And you start looking at the box score for Jalen Hurts in that game, he was 27 out of 35 for 264 yards and three touchdowns. But tonight, will that be enough for them to beat the Dallas Cowboys? Because Dak Prescott, coming off of that broken ankle, the Cowboys 1-1 and have an opportunity to play this game. Two great quarterbacks. Two quarterbacks that played in the Senior Bowl here in Mobile, Alabama. I think that's huge too, but whether you're a Dallas fan or whether you're an Eagles fan, there's probably more Cowboy fans than Eagle fans, but I think Dallas is favored to win by 3.5, and I think Dak Prescott is really going to put on the show tonight. And I don't want to see Jalen struggle, but I think it's a situation to where when you start looking at Jalen Hurts' numbers, he's leading the rushing yards for the Philadelphia Eagles. He has 17 carries for 144 yards with a touchdown. That's something that you don't want to see if you're a Philadelphia Eagle fan. You don't want your quarterback to lead you in rushing. Hurts, again, has thrown for 454 yards and three touchdowns, whereas Dak Prescott getting the job done for the Dallas Cowboys. And how much pressure is on the Dallas Cowboys this season? A lot of people say playoffs are bust. You pay all that money to Ezekiel Elliott, and you haven't really gotten the return on your investment yet. If you're Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott, here it is. He's pushing himself to come back from a broken ankle. He's finding a way to get things done. And other games that were in the NFL, Chicago gives up 9 sacks. Yeah, 9 sacks. So they're trying to figure out whether they want to fire their coach, Coach Nagy, or not. So I don't know, anytime an offensive line gives up 9 sacks for the quarterback, the quarterback normally is the one who buys Rolexes for his team, the offensive line, when they do a good job. Well, I don't even think they could get a value meal from McDonald's the way that they blocked this weekend against the Cleveland Browns as Cleveland defeats Chicago 26-6. Dalton is very happy because his Titans defeated the Colts 25-16, and Derrick Henry has another good game as well as Julio Jones, and that's what you expect from Derrick Henry. 28 rushes for 113 yards, and Julio only had 3 catches for 47 yards, but you start talking about the Atlanta Falcons beating the Giants 17-14, and the Giants under a lot of pressure as well when you start looking at their head coach and their quarterback controversy. Controversy is Daniel Jones the guy in New York? Is he the man? Saquon Barkley only had 51 rushing yards, so you have to find a way to help your quarterback out, as Daniel Jones was 24 out of 35, did not throw a touchdown, but didn't throw an interception either. So with that being said, there's just a lot of teams out here in the NFL that really you don't know what's going to happen. The Rams were able to defeat Tampa Bay, and that one a lot of people didn't see coming. Tom Brady takes a loss, 34-24, as they go out to the West Coast. Minnesota defeats Seattle 30-17, and Green Bay defeats San Francisco 30-28. So that's kind of a wrap-up of the NFL. Don't forget Philadelphia and Dallas tonight, Monday Night Football, good game going on. And just want to thank everybody for listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 tonight. It's Dalton Orwig will be back with us next week. And, again, it's been a pleasure talking Alabama, Auburn, South Alabama. I want to thank JT Crabtree for joining us. And don't forget, you want to see South Alabama this weekend at Hancock-Whitney Stadium against Louisiana at 7 o'clock p.m. Don't want to miss it. You listen to Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. Have a great night. Pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking the bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The hard. You never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight.